Hello, this is Shelley Antine, and I'm going to be speaking to you about the shift coming the week of January 17th. And I've already put out my full moon podcast. It's on my blog on shelleyantine.com if you haven't seen it or heard it yet. The podcast is there, and that full moon is taking place at 6:48 p.m. Eastern Time on that Monday the 17th. So, yes, that's a full moon in the sky, Monday night. And Tuesday, the planet Uranus goes direct at 10:27 a.m. I want to talk a little bit about that, and also the fact that the true lunar nodes of the moon, which are evolutionary direction pointing at what we should rise up through and what will help us move forward in evolution, will be shifting on the 18th also near midnight, and will be in South Node Scorpio, North Node Taurus when we get up on the 19th. Of January. Now, these are pretty big shifts, all occurring at the time of a full moon, which is intensified energy. And of course, on the 19th, the sun will enter Aquarius. So we are moving into a new space with a Mercury retrograde in Aquarius, also, let's not forget. So the internalized energy of the mind says it's not going to be thinking about this, it's going to help you cope with it. In fact, I'm even recording this with Mercury retrograde, so fingers crossed. I'm really trying to dot my I's. You see, there it is. That's Mercury retrograde right there, and cross my T's. So at any rate, let's look briefly at Uranus going direct in Taurus, because one of the reasons we have to notice this right now also is because the North Node is going to be in Taurus. And we've come through this period of time where we have had very little progress made, as far as I could see in the collective, with letting go of old beliefs. And, you know, not being in righteous mode and trying to force our beliefs down other people's throats. I haven't really seen a lot of shift on that into, you know, we really need to dialogue about this and find out more information, North Node Gemini. You know, see if there's any new information coming through. You know, it's just been a long struggle. It just really has. And I, as a Sagittarius with a moon in Gemini, have had my eye on this, you know. I've had a lot of interesting things come through, but I'm just not seeing a major change out there. And major change not having occurred makes the South Node in Scorpio passage a little bit more intense, I think. This is where we're going to see all the stuff bubbling back up that we pushed all the way down, 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 down. And it's not very pretty stuff either. In fact, the Bach flower remedy for Scorpio is holly and chicory. And chicory is basically about control. I want to be in control of everyone around me. I'm going to make it look like I'm helping, but it's really that I need to be close to people. I need them under my thumb. Now, all Scorpios are not like this, and they're not always manifesting like this. This is a negative attribute of what can happen when the Scorpio energy is disconnected from truth and spirit and is in turbulence and turmoil. Those are part of the feeling nature of the negative experience of Scorpio. So when you are born with a South Node in Scorpio, it suggests lifetimes of having the rug pulled out from under you and having the fear element grow strong enough that you may have done some things that weren't very nice. And now you're coming back in and you've got to face those things and some sort of karma in some way. And where that node falls is the house in which you will be facing a lot of that karma, you know. And it can be dealt with very quickly on some levels if your consciousness is on a higher level. It won't be dealt with as easy if you're still in a lower level of consciousness, so that you are still sort of sleepwalking your way through lifetimes, which most of us have done many times. So don't look down your nose at those people, because you only got to be awake a bit because you went through all that and you chose to wake up so that you wouldn't be suffering as much, because that turmoil is suffering. And one of the things about scorpions is that they literally will sting themselves to death. And that's something people don't talk about much anymore. It was, you know, when I was studying astrology, that was one of the things that was pointed out to me. It's like almost an ecstasy of pain. This is, you know, one of the issues with that very lowest level. But then, you know, coming up to the point where I don't want to feel that pain anymore. I've had it. Please help me get out of that pain. You're going to make tremendous shift as soon as you say that and you ask for assistance from higher levels, because they're waiting. You know, they're like checking their watch and waiting. You know, when is she finally going to, or he finally going to stop doing this and ask us to help? Because as soon as you do that, the guidance comes. And the pathway, the door to that pathway opens. And if you start walking on that pathway, you'll get to a higher level. Now, this is the South Node. And we looked at it collectively when we're looking at the transit of a South Node, because everybody's experiencing that. So we are going to see even more of the dirty underbelly of the beast, if that's possible. But perhaps this revealing, again, will make people say, you know, I don't want to have this world like this anymore. I want to see something else. You know, what would I rather see than this is one of the major metaphysical ways of dealing with life. You know, instead of naming the problem, what would I rather see? And then put your energy into that. So, we are looking at the North Node being Taurus, which is the opposite of turmoil. You know, it's like that the bull doesn't charge unless you really give him a really hard time in the ring. The Taurus energy is peaceful. It's passive. It surprisingly contains the bull's eye, which is literally the third eye, the spiritual eye. And this is a place where, well, we have Buddha. The Buddha sits under the tree, and that is a Taurian spiritual teacher. Peace, complete rest. I mean, who is in that right now? I'd like to know. I don't know anybody who's in complete peace in the world as we are experiencing the world right now. And that's just the outer stuff. So then the inner stuff is what we are processing. And our fears. I mean, if you have to be afraid to walk out the door every time you walk out the door, there's not a lot of peace in that, you know. So anyway, the Taurus energy is the place that wants us to go back into the body, into the material level, into the mountain and nature, and be at one with those places And with the acceptance of certain change, but with the understanding of the continuity, even of those cycles, such as our seasons, etc. You know, this is a place that we should be pursuing. Now, why am I speaking about this in conjunction with Uranus going direct? Is because Uranus is in Taurus. And so Taurus itself is not as peaceful a place to go as it was before Uranus went into that sign, and as it will be when Uranus finally gets out of there, which isn't going to be soon enough for the nodes. I don't believe it will be, because, you know, we have to look far into the future for, you know, the, because things go back and forth to about 2026. So the nodes will not be in Scorpio Taurus. I think they're going to be shifting again. The nodes will be going into South Node Libra, North Node Aries, and that will be in 2023 at some particular point that I don't know right now, but it's around, looks like it's July where that takes place. So one of the things that we know is that Uranus is a planet of upheaval, surprising, and sudden change. And it's been retrograde, and that retrograde has allowed us to process some of the changes that are already out there, right? Because we've been going over them and we've been looking, and it's very, very interesting what's happening. And we know that there's been a lot of difficulty with certain things. The electronic, which I think I spoke about, with the full moon, because it seems to be a focus there. Also, the electronic currency issue, which is something that would come up with Uranus, which rules Aquarius, which is a sign of electronics, technology, electrical technologies. So we've had a little bit of experience with what happens with something that's not regulated at all and is basically functioning almost like the stock market, which has a bull and a bear aspect to it. And so we're finding, you know, we also saw great shifts of wealth take place, even more so than ever before during the pandemic, where the super rich got super richer, you know, and the poor got, you know, what they got. So we have been able to be aware, and we're looking at this, and we're seeing how things are being controlled in terms of these shifting changes. And then, of course, we've got the Earth itself and all the incredible shifts and changes that have been going on. And, you know, I think we're getting closer to a worldwide agreement that something's different. I mean, it's so amazing. You know, can you live in Northern California and not notice the change? You know, people can, because there's something called normalcy bias, where you wake up in the morning and, oh, everything's fine. You know, everything looks good, so no problem. And that is where the mind wants to stay. But the shifts are taking place, you know. And we are going to see, when Uranus goes direct, this energy come out of the internalized and into more of the outer expression than we've seen. Now, one of the things that happens when Uranus goes into direct motion is that changes that have been on a mass level, you know, because the slow-moving outer planets are the ones that affect everybody at the same time because they are. They're there for everybody. So everybody's going through Uranus and Taurus. But when it goes direct, it starts to affect you personally. And where does it affect you? It affects you in the house of the transit. And how does it affect you? Well, it can be positive or it can be negative. And this would, you know, you really only know that if you have your chart read and you can see what kind of aspects are coming. And then you can have less surprise and you can work with not just the Uranian energy, but I have found in the past, and it makes me so happy, and it's one of the things that makes me want to do readings for people, is that when you have a challenge, usually something's there that's going to help you out. Jupiter in Pisces is probably the one that would be helping you out if you have issues with the Uranian energy in Taurus that aren't great. You know, a change that you didn't want or you didn't see coming. You know, or just the feeling of instability. And instability in Taurus is on a really down-to-earth level, you know. So these are things to know about. We know about them if we look at charts and we can see what may be happening. But the reason that it's problematic during this nodal transit is that finding the peace of Taurus is going to require the use of Uranus as an intuitive tool. This is because it rules Aquarius, which is where intuition is, as opposed to psychic input, which is Piscean. All right? There is a difference because psychic input is a received feeling. It may be a visual, you know, sort of a mirage fantasy kind of Piscean thing, whereas the intuitive is a direct bolt of lightning idea. All right, so to have that, it would be calling upon the eye of the bull. It would be saying to that Taurus energy, I want to use you right now as my spiritual tool, and if you can possibly, even if it's only a couple of minutes, move your awareness to your third eye and breathe, because, you know, that's a very helpful thing, is to focus on breath, and allow your intuition to come in to guide you and lead you, as opposed to just trying to figure stuff out. When you go into figure it out mode, turmoil is already there. It's already there because you're efforting. So you're in the Scorpio level. Let me see how I can control this. Let me see how I can figure it out. Let me see what pieces I can put into play and manipulate situations, etc., and so forth. And that is the wrong way to go. But it is an old way of humans. I mean, we've been under thousands of years of manipulation and control. And one of the reasons that I rise up every now and then to remind you that you don't even get to know when the seasons actually change because you've been manipulated and controlled by a calendar that didn't exist, you know, until fairly recently in the history of humans. You know, and people telling you on television, and instead of you looking outside and noticing what's going on in nature, it's time for us to go back into our own intuitive knowing. Very, very important. So the direct motion of Uranus will be the thing that will help us if we use it as a tool in the way I've just described. Now, I'm going to mention very briefly, because you really cannot know unless you have the chart done, you know, where this is falling exactly, or it may fall in two different places as it keeps going along, you know. I'll tell you how long that Uranus will be direct this year before it goes into its retrograde cycle again, which it will, of course. And that will be in August, let's see, exactly the 24th of August. All right. And it won't come out till January again, like it did this year. Same kind of time frame. All right. But I'm just going to mention, you know, sun signs and ascendants, just for the heck of it. Because then you, if you know where Uranus and Taurus is maybe doing its transit in your chart, you'll also know maybe where the nodes are progressing in your chart. And the nodes go backwards, like they actually start at 29 Taurus and go all the way back to zero Taurus before they move into, you know, the next, you know, we'll have the North Node in Aries. So I'll tell you, if it's Aries or Aries rising and you have a perfectly neat chart that has 0 degrees everywhere, then it will be in the second house, which is your relationship to your own body, physicality, survival, and your finances and your possessions and, you know, your values, self-worth also. If you are a Taurus and Taurus rising, you're going to have it right there in the first house of your very personal experience of what you show to the world, and also things that happen in the region of head and face, and you will have some changes to be dealing with there. And then if you are a Gemini rising, that's going to be a 12th house experience for you, which can be huge awakenings or, you know, just earthquakes in your subconscious. So, you know, again, if you're using the tool in a proper way and you're a Gemini rising, you're going to move past just the analyzing, you know, let me put it into a category and name it. You're going to have the lightning bolts that reveal. And they can also be revealing things that have been hidden for you to see. You can get messages from your ancestors, 12th house, also. If you're a Cancer rising, this Uranus in Gemini and some of this Gemini North Node is going to be passing through your 11th house of groups, friends, goals for the future. You know, did you think it was stable? I mean, haven't there been changes? And there may be more in store for you there, your groups and goals and friendships. And then if you are a Leo or a Leo rising, this is in your public life. This is in your house of career and how people think of you. So it can be changes involved there, either for you personally or for a company that you work for. So, and you have to be aware of the fact that some surprising things can come out that can affect that area also, or changes in management, especially high management, which is 10th house, would be the boss. And then if you're a Virgo rising, this is a 9th house experience for you. So you're getting to look at whether you're traveling or not traveling, or, you know, your beliefs and philosophical attitudes towards life, maybe undergoing some upheavals, shifts and changes. This is also a house that deals with your family, if you're married family, so in-laws. So they represent different culture. And so that's like what 9th house is about, foreign cultures. And so there may be some shifts and changes going on for those people. And also, you have the higher education issue in that house. So here again, maybe some things shift and change. And maybe you get some major intuitive hits and ahas that is, you know, about something that you should delve into that would be beneficial for you now. If you're a Libra, Libra rising, this is in the eighth house of shared resources. That's actually Scorpio's house, so this is like sort of a, well, I'm supposed to go to the North Node, which is now in my, and Uranus, now in my eighth house, but that's Scorpio house, and that's, you know, so it's like a revolving door you have to deal with, but this is going to be shifts and changes that can come that affect your income tax, your insurance, your ability to get or pay loans, and also this is a place of having, if you are interested in the occult, which we used to call it, things like astrology or other areas of depth in learning, you can have some intuitive insights and flashes becoming prominent in your understanding while this is going on. But learning how to accept other people's values, which may also be changing. You know, like I used to be able to rely on my husband to feel this way about things, but now, and that brings us to if you're a Scorpio or a Scorpio rising. Oh boy, right? This is going to be a time where you're really going to be going through it, maybe about your own physical appearance, your presentation to the world, the feedback that you get about that presentation to the world, and, you know, how you can regain your inner peace and calm somehow. The North Node and Uranus would be in your house of partnership and significant others. So there can be shifts and changes in those people or in that situation. Also legal matters, you know. And how you, you know, look at things and value things. You know, Libra scales, beauty and harmony and stuff like that, you know. Changes there and needing to use your own intuitive about who you are letting in or who you are letting go of or you need to let go of in that house of significant others. This is a time when people are going through that also. If you're a Sag or a Sag rising, this is in your house of health and your, well, this is work. If you're working, this would be that house. And pets would be that house also. So there are significant changes here. And if you are looking at your health, you are the one that will be the person who must take the, I've said it so many times, issue of how does my energy affect my body? How does my thought impact on my actual physical expression and experience? You're the ones who are really front and center for this, and you're the ones who need to use your intuition to keep track of where you're veering off. And the minute you find yourself veering off with a physical whatever, you remember what to do to actually bring that under control, because all the physical things, the Taurus things that you have relied upon may not be the ones, the physical herbs, the physical medicines, the foods that you need may change. Your experience of the foods you're eating may change. So it's quite an interesting, and if you're working in a situation where there are other people that work either for you or around you, there are changes there too. If you are a Capricorn or you have Capricorn rising, this is in your house of romance, self-expression, children, entertainment, and investment. So you can get the drift pretty easily about that. And with Uranus and Taurus, if you are someone who has expression of self as part of your goal or your need to in terms of work and stuff, being in the electronic world with it is very supported. And so it is also for Sag and Sag rising, having that on the house of work. So getting involved in, you know, podcasting or blogging or something with media would be a good idea. For also for Capricorn rising in terms of self-expression and entertainment, but things with romance and investment and children, there may be, you know, times of surprising revelations or changes. If you're an Aquarius or you have Aquarius rising, then Uranus is your chart ruler and you're saying, yippee, I'm glad it's going direct because I felt so, it was so sluggish, and I really am excited that it's now feels like I'm moving forward. Yeah, I don't blame you. And this particular passage for you is going to be in your fourth house, which is your root, which is where you go to feel safe and secure and grounded, your home, your family. So Uranus there. If you've been contemplating changes, you may really get involved in making some. And that doesn't mean you have to move. You could move, depending on the rest of the chart. But on a long Uranus passage of the fourth house, you may not move to a place that you stay in. So, again, this is one of the reasons that the chart has to be seen. Like, how long is that actually going to be in the fourth house? And so forth. But people in the home may shift and change around. Something that you do, particularly on an electronic level for the home, could be taking place. And you might not feel that restful while that passage of Uranus and Taurus is going on in the fourth house. If you're a Pisces with Pisces rising, then it might be exciting for you. There can be shifts and changes in your neighborhood and, you know, your mode of travel and, you know, maybe places that you go on short journeys and stuff. But this is the mind now. So here is where you also can be one who's receiving not just your normal psychic impressions and feelings, but some, you know, jolts of intuitive insight. And you may be communicating differently, different thoughts. And people might be surprised by you and what you're saying and doing also. But this can be changes. And this house holds siblings and also a lot of the extended family, like aunts, uncles, cousins, and stuff like that. So you can find that there may be a lot of fluctuation going on for those people. And then, you know, we're back to Aries again, second house. So that might help. And if you really want to know, get in touch with me and have a natal chart reading, because then you'll know exactly also where those nodes are transiting. Wherever I told you Uranus was, it's the opposite house that has the south node in Scorpio. So whatever house has that Scorpio cusp in your chart is where you're going to notice this stuff coming up. And again, it may start in one house and move to the next, because very few people have the exact 0 degrees. And there are a lot of astrologers that like to work with that. But I don't find that it's true. I mean, you know, there is a truth in this by looking up what's rising, and it isn't always 0 degrees of anything. It has to be moving through the 30 degrees. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. But a lot of people are quite in love with 0 degree house cusps. I'm not. So, you know, I may have a low degree of my rising sign. Somebody else may be right at the 29th degree for that rising sign, which really means the next sign is most of the first house. So you want to know, really want to know, get the reading done, and find some good ways to move through. This is going to be a really interesting year. You can already see it in the outer world. You can already see, you know, there's a court case with sedition in the word now. People have been charged with sedition. That is, we haven't seen that happen in terms that we're seeing it now, because if those people are found guilty of sedition, then there will be executions, public execution that one could tune into, you know, just like some of those people wanted to do without having a trial, a jury, and a verdict. So it's that type of intensity when we have Scorpio, because Scorpio Taurus is about life and death also. And so I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me. And I will be here for your needs to be met if you need to have consultations. And Bach Flowers can help you through this too. So anyway, wishing you the best with this, as always. And I will say goodbye for now.